Today's shir is Masechta Shabbos, Daf Mem Beis. We will begin in Daf Mem Beis, Omen Aleph, 10 lines from the top. Aval Noisen. We learned in the Mishnah, one may put cold water into the mechem or into a cup if your entire purpose is just to cool off that water. And now our Gemara begins to discuss under what circumstances or how you can mix cold water and hot water, when it's a mutter, when it is awesome. Begins the Gemara Tana Rabbanan. The Braisa teaches us, Noisen Odom, a person could put chamin, hot water, even out of a Kli Rishon, explains Tosfos, L'toich HaTzoinen, into cold water. Because we have a rule, which we discussed when we learned Masechta Chulin. There's a concept in Halacha of Tetor Gover and Ilor Gover. When you have two liquids, one on the top and one on the bottom, which liquid prevails? And the halacha is that tator gover, that the bottom liquid prevails. So since the bottom liquid here is the cold water, so the cold water prevents the hot water from becoming completely hot. That water will only be lukewarm, and since it only be lukewarm, there's no problem in doing this on Shabbos. V'loy, and therefore, continuing this line of reasoning, hatsoinu l'toch hachamim. You can't pour cold water onto hot water. Devar Beis Shammai. Why? Because tator gover. And since we say tator gover, the bottom water will heat up the upper water. There is a discussion in the Rishonim here. Does it make a difference how much water there is? If there's a lot of water, then of the hot water, then we should be concerned. If there's more of the cold water, we should be less concerned. But the Gemara in the Pash Pshat doesn't make that distinction. It doesn't make a difference if we're pouring hot water into the cold, or you're pouring cold water into the hot. Under all circumstances, it's mutter. But medvar mamur. But even Beis Hillel says, when am I being lenient? Because we're pouring it into a kois, which is klisheni. And since the water in the kois, so we have two atayim explained Rishonim. Number one, the water in the kois is a klisheni. And a klisheni, as we discussed and will discuss, doesn't have the same ability to be mevashal like a Kli Rishon. Number two, when water is put into a cup, I'm interested in drinking the water. Since I'm interested in drinking the water, I don't want it to get too hot. Aval Bambati, when we speak about a bath, which is a Kli Rishon, then even Beis Hillel will agree, Chamin L'toich Tzoinen, I could pour hot water into the cold water, because even though we're referring here to a situation of eerie Kli Rishon, says the Ran, since the water on the bottom is cold, even though I'm pouring in eerie Kli Rishon, and we're going to speak later in our shir, that eerie Kli Rishon may have the halacha of a Kli Rishon. Here it's different because it's going into cold water, v'loy, but you would not be allowed to pour tzoyin l'toy chamin. You cannot pour cold water into hot water. Even, as I said a moment ago, even if there's a lot of cold water, the halacha is, since I'm pouring cold water into hot water, the hot water will heat up the cold water, the tator gover, and we have to be machmer. Says the Braisa, concludes the Braisa, Rav Shimon Menasya Oimer, af Rav Shimon Menasya holds, Oyser, it makes no difference if it's cold into hot or hot into cold by the bath, it's always Oser. Because, explains the Ran, since it's eerie Kli Rishon, and the eerie Kli Rishon, says the Ran, according to Rav Shimon Menasya, is mevashel even by an ambati, and comments the Gemara, Omram Nachman, halacha of Shimon ben Asya. The halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Asya. This is the way Rashi, the Ramban, and the Ran all explain that the Ambati that we're talking here is a Kli Rishon. And that's the way we learned the Gemara. Tosfos has a different approach, and according to Tosfos, this Ambati, just like we started the case with the cup, is a Kli Sheni, the Ambati is also a Kli Sheni. But we're going to learn with Rashi. Continues the Gemara. Savar Rav Yosef Lameimer. So Rav Yosef wanted to say that Sefel, that we just have a wash basin, that a wash basin is treated, Sefel, that a wash basin that people used to use to heat water to wash their hands and their feet, Hareyu Kambati has the same aloha as a bati. That it has a din like a clay sheni, and the difference will be hot into cold or cold into hot. Amalei, Abaya, Ser Abaya to Rabbi Yossi, Tani Rabbi Chia, that we learned in the Yeshiva Rabbi Chia that Sefel and a Kabati, that Sefel is not treated like an Abati, it's treated like a Kli Sheni, and therefore the halacha is you could put hot into cold or hot or cold into hot. In other words, the way Rashi explains the Gemara, the Ambati is considered is a Kli Rishon, and that's why we have to be more machmer. But the Sefel is a Kli Sheni, and a Kli Sheni is not Mevashel. As says, comments the Gemara. Ulamai de Salka datami Koro. According to what we wanted to say, that Sefel Kambati, that Sefel is treated like Ambati, and therefore, according to that opinion, any time that you have water that's there for washing purposes, not drinking purposes. Beis Hillel's opinion is you're not allowed to put cold water into that water. And according to Rav Shimon ben Asya, it doesn't make a difference if it's the hot into the cold or the cold into the hot. And we also learned a moment ago that Amar Rav Nachman, halacha of Shimon ben Asya, that we paskin like Rav Shimon ben Asya, says the Gemara, according to this, Shabbos rechitza b'cham and lekin. We'll never be have a case where you could wash yourself on Shabbos because you'll have water that was heated from before Shabbos. The water that was heated before Shabbos typically will, explains Rashi, be very hot. So you won't be able to use that water the way it is because the water is very hot, and as the Tosfos Rosh explains, that it's a tircha to wait until that water cools off. And according to Rav Shimon ben Asya, when you have this hot water, even though it was heated from before Shabbos, it doesn't make a difference. You can't put the hot water into the cold water into the hot water. So how will you be able to wash part of Yadav Raglov on Shabbos? And we learned the Gemara, explained the Rishonim, on Daf Lamed Das Amud Beis, that you're allowed to wash pon of Yadav Raglav b'Shabbos. You're allowed to wash your hands, your feet, and your face on Shabbos. But if the way Rav Shimon ben Asya paskins, that a sefel, that even a wash basin, has the halacha like an ambati, so if the sefel has the same halacha as an ambati, and it's very hot water, and according to Rav Shimon ben Asya, you can never mix that hot water with the cold water, how would the Gemara that we learned the other day say that you could wash yourself on Shabbos? Says the Gemara, Mi Savrit Rav Shimon Asefakoi. Says the Gemara, there's a total misunderstanding of what Rav Shimon ben Asya said. Rav Shimon ben Asya wasn't going on the Sefer that Beis Hillel said that when you have an Abati, that you could put the hat into the cold, but you can't put the cold on the hat. And came Rav Shimon ben Manasseh to say that even hat into cold is asur. Rav Shimon ben Manasseh is going on the beginning of the Braisa, Areshikoi. He's going back to the beginning of the Braisa. The beginning of the Braisa said, Beis Hillel matirim ben chamel toich tzoinen, that when we're drinking with a cup of water, Beis Hillel says you could put hot water into cold water, and you could put cold water into hot water. And if that came, Rav Shimon Menashe and said, Rav Shimon Menashe oyser to put cold water into the hot water in the cup. That's what he's referring to. But hot water into cold water, Rav Shimon will agree, Rav Shimon Menashe will agree, even if it's water that's here for washing, that's mutter. And that's how we could have hot water to wash ourselves on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, but if that's going to be the case, that when we're talking, Rav Shimon Menashe is talking about water in a cup, and Rav Shimon Menashe is saying that water in a cup is permitted, is not permitted, hot into cold into hot, only hot into cold, but that's the opinion of Beis Shammai. Lema, so according to this, Rav Shimon Menashe is passing the comic of Beis Shammai. And as the Achrayim explain, there are two questions that we know throughout Shas, that whenever we have a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, we always follow the opinion of Beis Hillel. And here we find that that he's following the opinion of Beis Shammai. And moreover, explained the Mefarshim, the Gemara is asking actually another question as well. The Gemara, the Mishnah, quoted the opinion of Beis Shammai that differentiated by a cup for drinking between the hot into the cold and the cold into the hot. And Beis Hillel did not agree to that distinction. And then it quoted the opinion of Shimon Menashe. But according to the way we're learning now, Rav Shimon Menashe is just repeating the opinion of Beis Shammai. So if he's just repeating the opinion of Beis Shammai, what's the point in the Mishnah, and what's the point in the Braisa mentioning that opinion, which doesn't represent anything new? Answers the Gemara, Hachikomer. This is what Rav Shimon Menashe meant to say. Rav Shimon Menashe comes to say that we think that there's a machloikus here of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, but says Rav Shimon Menashe, lo nechalku Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel b'davazeh. There's no machloikus Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in this halacha. And both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are both in agreement that the halacha is that it's usur to put the cold into the hot, but a hot in the cold is mutter. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna b'Rei de Yeshua, Chazin elei l'rova d'oi kapra mana. I saw that he wasn't makbid when we were dealing with a klisheni to put hot into cold or cold into hot, even when the purpose of the water is there for washing. Midatani, what's the reason he was lenient? Because the Braisa says, Rav Chia, the Bitar Rav Chia, we learned in the Braisa of Chia, Loish, Noisen Adam Kitan Shalmayim, a person could take a Kitan Shalmayim, a flask of water, L'toich Soyafel Shalmayim, and put it into the wash basin of water. And Rav Chia said that this is mutter, Bein Cham L'toich Tzoynen, whether I'm putting hot water into cold water, or Bein Tzoynen L'toich Chamim, or I'm putting cold water into hot water. So we see that it makes no difference what's on the bottom, it's mutter under all circumstances. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Huna L'Rav Ashi, Dil Mishani Hasu the Mafsakeli. You can't bring a raya from Rav Chia's Braisa to the subject that we began today's shiur with, because the subject we began our shiur with today is referring to pouring hot water directly into the cold, or cold water directly into the hot. But here, the water is in a flask. Amalei, so therefore the two cases are not similar. Amalei, to which he said to Rav Huna, Mara Itmer. The braisa that we had, our girsa was that you're allowed to pour, not just put a flask, but you're allowed to actually pour. And the correct girsa of the braisa is Mar Adam Kitu Shemayim L'toich Sefel Shemayim. You're allowed to pour water from a flask into a wash basin of water. So we see from here clearly that it makes no difference. Under all circumstances, even by washing purposes, even the water that's here for washing, you're allowed to put hot into cold and cold into hot, not like any of the chumra digger opinions that we learned at the beginning of our shiur today. Begins the Gemara, a new subject. Hilfis is a frying pan, v'ktera, or is a pot, shaviru murusachim, that you took off the oven while still boiling. You have boiling hot water in these pans, or boiling hot food, rather, in these pans. The halacha is, la'yitin l'toicha tavlin. You're not allowed to put, after Shabbos began, spices into that pot, because they're a kli rishon, and even though they're off the fire, and this is a very important point that we've discussed previously, a kli rishon, as long as the food that's in it, paskins to Shulchan Aruch, and simen shun yud ches sif tes, as long as the food that's in it is yatz lettuce, anywhere from 110 to 160 degrees, has the ability to cook what's in it. And since you can't put spices into that pot on Shabbos. And explains the Pnei Yeshua. What our Mishnah is coming to teach us is that we spoke previously about water getting cooked. That's the beginning of today's shiur. Now we're learning that this halacha doesn't only apply by water, but now we're learning that this halacha applies even by spices, which may be considered something more difficult to cook. Avanoisin l'toicha kara, you could put spices into the plate. Or l'toicha tamchui. Tamchui is like the serving dish. There, since it's already a klisheni, it's a klisheni, doesn't have the ability to cook what's put inside those pots. Explains the Rashba that according to Rashi, even though we're saying that you could put spices into the karo tamchui, the halacha is you can't pour from a kli rishon onto those spices. Because explains the rishon, because explains the Rashba, because Eri kli rishon has the din of a kli rishon. Other Rishonim say that Eri kli rishon doesn't have the din of a kli rishon. They try to bring a raya from our Mishnah, but the Rishonim say that our Mishnah is very not conclusive. Because our Mishnah says that you're only not allowed to put spices into the ilfus in Kedera, which are a kli rishon. But the opinions that hold that Eri Kli Rishon is not like Kli Rishon, so what that Eri Kli Rishon is like a Kli Rishon, so the Mishnah should have said even that you're not allowed to pour from a Kli Rishon onto the spices. The fact that the Mishnah did not choose to speak about such a situation is a raya that Eri Kli Rishon is not a Kli Rishon. On the other hand, the fact that our Mishnah only was makel by Kara and Tamchui, if the halacha is that Eri Kli Rishon is not like Kli Rishon, the Mishnah should have told us even a bigger chiddush. Then not only are you allowed to put the spices in the karet tamchui, but you're even allowed to pour Eri Kli Rishon on the spices. Why didn't the Mishnah say it as a kula? Is a raya that Eri Kli Rishon is like a Kli Rishon. So as the Rishonim point out, our Mishnah, there's no raya conclusively which direction to go with. Rabbi Yehuda Omer teaches us Rabbi Yehuda, L'kol hunoysen, you could put spices into anything, chutz b'davish shesh b'chaymetz, except something which has vinegar, or something that has sear, or has fish brine, since they're very sharp, that's what makes them cook quicker. Ask the Gemara immediately, Ibai Luhu, how do we understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? Rabbi Yehuda, reisha koy l'kula, is Rabbi Yehuda speaking about the Reisha, and it says that the Meisha says that you're not allowed to put spices into a Kli Rishon, even if it's not on the fire. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda and says that when are we going to be machmer about putting spices only if it has in it Chaymetz V'Tzir. But if it doesn't have an etchaimetz v'tzoyer, we will be lenient, even a kli rishon. Oidilma, a sefer koy l'chumra, where we said that in a kli sheni, we could be machmer, what Rabbi Yehuda is coming to teach us, that that in the klisheni we have to be we could be mekel, comes along Rabbi Yehuda and says that even though we could be mekel in the klisheni, we only could be mekel if it doesn't have tzira chaimitz. But if it has tzira chaimitz, we're going to have to be machmer even in a kli sheni. Toshma. So the Braisa tells us exactly what Rabbi Yehuda holds. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, l'chol ufsin hunaisin, l'chol akdeis roischais hunaisin, chutz midavish yesh b'chaimitz v'tzir. He's clearly speaking about a kli rishin. But in a kli sheni, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be in a klisheni, he's going to be mekel even by a davar shesh bechaimitz v'tzir. So our Gemara just taught us the halacha of chaimitz v'tzir being more chomerdik. The question is, if the halacha is that we have to be machmer bechaimitz v'tzir, so the question is, how could somebody put lemon juice into a tea on Shabbos? Because lemon juice is something which is a davar charif, and davar charif is mutter. So the Chazon Ish says clearly that you could put lemon into a kli sheni. The Ktzayis HaShulchan also said that our Mishnah is talking about that I'm pouring, that the item that I'm putting into has chaimitz v'tzir. But our Mishnah is not talking about chaimitz v'tzir that's being put into something else. Continues the Gemara. Sava Rav Yosef Lameimer. Rav Yosef wanted to say, the melech, salt, harei kutavlin, melech should be treated like salt, the bekli rishin bashla, and it has the ability to get cooked in a kli rishin, or bekli sheni, but in a kli sheni loy bishla. Amalei Abaya. So told him, says Abaya to Rabbi Yosef, Tani Rav Chia. Rav Chia taught us in a braisa, the melech ain't a ketavlin. Melech is not considered like spices. The bekli sheni nami boshla. And by melech, we have to be more machmer. And even in a kli sheni, it gets cooked. What about a kli shlishi? So the Prima Gadim holds that even if we're going to have to be machmer by kli sheni, by a kli shlishi, we certainly could be lenient. The Chazon Ish, however, says that we don't find in a halacha that there should be a difference between a kli sheni and a kli shlishi. And therefore, says the Chazon Ish, that if we're going to have to be machmen in a case that we're machmen a kli sheni, we should be machmen a kli shlishi as well. Or pligid Rav Nachman. And this opinion disagrees with what Rav Nachman taught us. Dom Rav Nachman, tzricha milcha bishula kibisra datura. That salt requires a lot of cooking, like axe meat, and certainly it doesn't get cooked in a kli sheni. Vikadamri, sav Rav Yosef Lameimer. Rav Yosef wanted to say, the melech harei kutavlin, the melech should be treated like spices. And as we learned in the Mishnah, the bekli rishin bishla, that it gets cooked in a kli rishin, bekli sheni loy bishla, but it doesn't get cooked in a kli sheni. Amalei Abaya, to which Abaya commented, Tani Rav Chia, we learned in the Brayson Rav Chia's yeshiva, the melech ain't a ketavlin, that salt is not treated like spice. The melech, bekli rishin nami loy bishla, melech does not get cooked in a kli rishin. Asked the Miri, we see that we put salt in a kli rishin, it gets dissolved. Says the Miri, something getting dissolved does not mean it got cooked. Cooked means that it changes. Dissolved means it just dissolves. And says the Gemara, this opinion that you could put salt even to a kli rishin, Hanedom Rav Nachman, this is what Rav Nachman taught us, that tzricha milcha bishula, that salt needs a lot of cooking, kibisla datura. And therefore, you could put it into a kli rishin. And according to Rashi and the Meiri, according to this version, that was so lenient by salt, not only may salt be put into kli rishin, which we said at the beginning of the sugya, the definition of a kli rishin is even after it's taken off the fire, but the halach is that salt could be put into kli rishin even when it's on the fire. Because it never gets cooked when it's even in a kli rishin. So now we need to discuss what is mutter, what is also with spices. Tosfos says that other foods, other than spices, cannot be put into a kli sheni because it's mechsi kumvishal. Tosfos holds that the Mishnah only allowed spices to be put into kli sheni because spices are only added for the sake of enhancing the food's flavor, and therefore there's no mechsi kumvishal. And that's why our Mishnah was made by a kli sheni at spices. Other foods, says Tosfos, you can't even, that aren't cooked, are mechsi kumvishal even in a kli sheni. There's a machlokes, as we just learned, about salt. And most poskim say that it doesn't apply to the salt that we have. Because the salt that we have is cooked first, and since it's cooked first, it's different. Another very important halacha. Even when we're makel in a kli sheni, says the Chaya Adam, that's only in a kli sheni, which is yad seledus bar, that what's in it is yad seledus. But if the food in the kli sheni is yad nichfas, that's so hot that if you put your hand in it, your hand will get burnt, then that kli sheni is treated like a kli rishon. Now, there's a very big chumra from the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says that when we learn in our Gemara, we could put spices into kli sheni, that's only when the contents of the kli sheni are a liquid. But if the contents of the kli sheni are dovah gush, a solid food, even if it's in a kli sheni, since it's a dovah gush, there it has the ability to cook. And we'll talk about, so you can't put spices on potatoes or on a piece of meat, even though it's in a kli sheni. The Mishnah Berurah also teaches us that let's say you have a kli rishon and you put into the kli rishon a ladle. Certainly if the ladle is submerged into the soup for a while, then says the Mishnah Berurah that ladle, the soup in that ladle will be considered a kli rishon, even though it's something that's being put into the kli sheni. But says the Mishnah Berurah, since it's submerged, and certainly if it's submerged for a while, that would be considered a kli sheni. So now there's some halacha lemaisa that we have to discuss. One halacha that I would like to say is that one can't put a piece of hot meat into cold gravy. Why? Because the cold meat will make the gravy cooked, at least kadei klipa, going back to what we discussed previously, something cold into hot into cold, and that's Asur and Shabbos. The halacha is that spices can be put into a kli sheni, even if the contents are yatz lettuce bar, but not if there's a dovah gush. Salt. So our Gemara discusses salt. The halacha is that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that salt may be put into kli rishon if it's not on the fire. But then the Shulchan Aruch brings down the yesh oisrim, this is in Siman Tov Nun Gimel, that you shouldn't put it even into kli sheni if the contents are yad seledus bar. And Ramah says, hamachma tavah ala bracha. What happens if you put salt even to kli rishon that's on the fire? The halacha is that you could be makel. Next halacha is, as I said earlier, this is only by salt that hasn't been processed. But salt that has already been processed, we could be more lenient. We're also machmer on iri kli rishon. So whenever we say that you can't put something into kli rishon, we're also machmer with iri kli rishon that it should be asur. And as I said, but if the kli sheni is so hot that it's yad nichfas boy, that what you put into it is scalded, then that kli sheni has the din of a kli rishon. So now the question that comes up is, as our Mishnah said clearly, you can't put spices into kli rishon. So I saw that the Sefer Cheshukei Chemed discusses a shaila. What happens if I came to your house and I put spices into kli rishon? So now the question is, am I going to be allowed to eat that soup?
we're learning that you're not allowed to put spices into Kli Rishon. So he says that you could be Mekel. Since the halacha is, he says two rayas. Number one, and we're going to speak about this concept again another time, since the food is edible without those spices, you just added a little more spices. That's not, so that those spices don't have the ability to make the food usur. And then he quotes another opinion. We discussed this regarding chazara. If I took off in your home a pot from the oven, I came to your home and I took off the pot of the oven without the intention of returning that pot. And we learned at the beginning of this perek that in order for chazara to be mutter, you have to have intention to put it back on. What would be the halacha? So we discussed the Rebbe Kivega says that I don't have the ability to make something which belongs to you, usur. And maybe here too, I can't do that either. So now the question is, if you can't put something, you can't put something into a klisheni, our Mishnah says according to Behuda, by if it's Dovah Charif, so how could I put lemon juice or a little whiskey into my tea, which is a klisheni? So the Shar Mitzion Balocha gives us an Eitzah. He says that what we should do is, you should put the lemon juice or the whiskey on a spoon that has on it cold water. And since it has on it cold water, so that's permitted, and it'll get cold. And then take that mixture, which is primarily cold water and lemon juice, and pour it into the, and that's what you should pour into your tea. So now the question is, putting salt or spices on your into your cholent on Shabbos. So there's going to be a nafka mina, what type of cholent you make. If you make a soupy type of cholent, so we're learning that in a klisheni, we could be more lenient. But if it's a, if there's solid pieces of potato, solid pieces of meat, there, l'chayr, we would have to be machmer. Because we keep on repeating that a dover gush, a salad, even if it's in a klisheni, is treated like a kli rishon. So we shouldn't be allowed to put salt if you have pieces of meat or pieces of potato from your cholent. But Rav Moshe, in the Shas Tshuva Sigris Moshe, Oyre Chaim Chelek Dalad, Simen Ayin Dalad Ois Hei, is lenient. He says, he takes the following approach. He says that as we learned in our Gemara, it's not so obvious that Kli Sheni is a problem with salt. The way we learned our Gemara, Kli Sheni may not be an issue with salt at all. It's only the and we quoted the Shulchan Aruch, there are two opinions cited in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch says that we should follow the Machmirim, Tavala Bracha. But says Rav Moshe, this much we could rely on the first opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, that because he says the whole issue of a Dava Gush, the whole issue of a Dava Gush is not that obvious. So since the whole issue of a Dava Gush is not that obvious that we have to be machmer, combined with the halacha that a salt only gets mavushal and a kli rishon, so therefore we could be more lenient. However, you could probably, again, use the advice of the Shar Mitzion Balocha. Put the salt onto a spoon that has just the soup part of the cholent. That certainly is a klisheni. Salt can be put into klisheni. And like that, pour that into the pot. And therefore, that would be mutter. Our perek, at this point, now turns away from Hilchas Bishul. And our perek now turns to the halacha of muksa. The halacha is that Chazal said that certain objects may not be moved on Shabbos because they're muksa. The Isra muksa, as we saw earlier in our Masechta on Daf Lamed Amid Beis, is an early takana. We already find
And I said earlier that when David HaMelech was nifter on Shabbos, Shlomo HaMelech had the question how he could be moved on Shabbos. So we see that the Issur Muksa goes back to the time of David and Shlomo. Things, however, that are usable on Shabbos certainly were allowed to be moved on Shabbos. Until the time of Nechemya ben Chakalia, where he saw that, which was at the beginning of the time of the Beis Hamikdash Sheni, where he saw the people were not being careful with Hilchos Shabbos, and that's when Nechemya came and said that you're not allowed to move anything, even Kalim may not be moved on Shabbos unless there's a real purpose. Until things got better, and he relaxed those issurs, those issurim. There are different types of muksa. There's something which is muksa machm scharn kus, that you're careful with this object. You have a klisha malach del isser, which the halacha is you're allowed to move l'tzarech gufoy mekaymai. You have muksa machm skufoy, something which has no inherent use on Shabbos, that's not a keli, earth, stones, a dead person. A basis l'davar aser is something which is a base for something which is muktzer, something which is connected to the ground, and during Bein HaShemashos is muktzer. Something, we had this example earlier in HaMasechta, which is muktzer machmes mitzvah, the noy sukkah we discussed, are considered muktzer machmes mitzvah. As we also discussed many times in this Masechta, and we'll continue Bezer Hashem Yisbarach discussing, Rav Shimon has a more lenient approach to Hilchos Muktzer. Rav Yehuda has a stricter approach to Hilchos Muktzer. Says the Mishnah, Ein Noisnin Kli Tachsaner, on Shabbos, one may not put a vessel under his candle, L'kabel Bas HaShemen, to catch the oil that drips out of that candle. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, they vim the snubi by joint. But if you put it under the candle before Shabbos, mutter, you may leave it there. You don't have to take it from there. Ein usim menu, but the oil that drips into that plate on Shabbos, even though you put it there before Shabbos, you may not benefit from that oil. It wasn't prepared from before Shabbos. And as we're going to learn in the Gemara, and Rashi quotes, says this here in the Mishnah, there are two reasons why this may be asur. One reason is, as we just learned, the oil that drips out on Shabbos is muksa. And there's aloche that ain't clean nittle b'Shabbos. You can't move a keli on Shabbos, ela l'tzarech davar nittle, only for something that is not muksa. But to move something which is not muksa for the purpose of something which is muksa is asur. And the other reason is that it's a bit of keli mechanai. By putting the plate there, and the oil will drip into that plate, and once the oil drips into that plate, I can't move that plate. So I'm making that plate should be stuck there. And the way Rashi is going to explain, it looks like boina. I'm making that plate should have to remain there for the entire Shabbos. So our Mishnah says that if you had it there from before Shabbos, then it's mutter. Now there's machloikis rishonim. What does our Mishnah mean that if it was there from before Shabbos, it's no problem? Rashi seems to learn that if b'di'evit you put it there before Shabbos, it's fine. But l'chatchila, that's not something you should do. Why? Because we're concerned that you may move the plate with the oil and you'll be moving muksa. Tosfos says that you're allowed to put it there l'chatchila from Erev Shabbos. So this is the halacha, that we have to be concerned about putting the keli under the oil under the oil by Shabbos, because it's mevata keli mechonai, and therefore it's asur. Even, what about if you put there klisha malach del iser? So as I said a moment ago, the halacha is that a kli shemalachta l'isser can be moved l'tzarech gufa mekaymai, but by putting this plate there now, with the oil that will drip into it, I can't move that plate under any circumstances. So now I'm taking this a step down. Till now, I was allowed to move it, this keli l'tzarech gufa mekaymai. Now I won't be even allowed to move it l'tzarech gufa mekaymai, and therefore I'm not allowed to do so. Another, what about if in this keli there's a davar ha-mutter? In other words, I'm putting under the keli that the oil will drip into something that has in it something which is not muksa. So since even if the oil drips into this keli, it will be a keli that has in it a davar mutter and a davar asur. The halacha is that a keli that has in it something which is a davar mutter and davar asur may be moved. So there's no problem with putting such a keli under this candle. What's going to be the halacha if you have a keli under your table? That means you don't want to have this lamp, you don't want to have a keli on your table in which the oil will drip, but you're worried about the dripping oil. So you put a keli under your table, and then Friday night after you finish eating, you move your entire table. The halacha is that it's mutter. Even though you're causing on Shabbos that this should become a keli that you won't be able to move, since you didn't deliberately put the keli there from before Shabbos, it's mutter. However, what will be, we said a minute ago, that if there's a dover ha-mutter in the keli, then you're allowed to put such a keli on Shabbos. But what happens if the dover ha-mutter you have in the keli is the davar mutter you have in the keli is oil? So what will you have? You'll have the oil that's not muksadiga oil, and you'll have the muksadiga oil that drips in. So they'll be mixed together. Then you'll have a problem. Because the halach is, even if the non-muksadiga oil is derived, the halach is that a davar sheyesh lo matirim, something that will ultimately be mutter, we don't say bittel. And this will be mutter after Shabbos. So even though we're learning that if you have a mutadiga object in the keli, the halacha is you could put into that keli, then you could put that keli under the dripping candles, the dripping oil. That's only if the object is something, if it's not oil. But if it's oil, then we wouldn't have that heter. Now the question is, it's Shabbos Chanukah, and your menorah is dripping oil. What's going to be the halacha? So the Sefer Chashuki Chemed says a very big chiddush. He says that when is there a problem? He says only by oil, which you're going to want to save. In their world, they wanted to save the oil. But in our world, where nobody's interested in saving the oil, and if the oil drips into the keli, you have no problem just disposing of that oil. He says it could be that in our world we could be more makel, a very big chiddush. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, Apish Amru, even though Chazal taught us, Ein noisen keli tachas tanegoilus l'kabel beitzosai, we're not allowed to put a vessel under a hen to catch the egg that she lays on Shabbos. And the egg that she lays on Shabbos, anybody who learned Masechet Beis knows that the first Mishnah of the Masechet Beis teaches us that that egg is muksa. So the halacha is the same halacha as our Mishnah. That just like you're not allowed to put a keli to catch the oil, you're not allowed to put a keli to catch the egg. Ava koifel a keli, the halacha is you can't put on top of that egg that was laid on Shabbos a keli kadesh shloi teshover to avoid that it gets from getting broken. Amar Rava, so asks Rava, my tam de Rav Chisda. It's hard to understand Rav Chisda's psak because the egg is muksa, and we learned that you're not allowed to take a keli on behalf of something which is muta muksa. Answers the Gemara, Kesava. Rav Chisda's opinion is tanegolos asuya la'atuya. It's a tanegolos asuya la'atul beitzos ba'ashba. Chickens normally lay eggs in a place where in a trash where it's going to get crushed. But they don't normally lay eggs in a place that's on an incline. So therefore, to put a keli on top of the egg that it shouldn't get crushed is mutter. Ask the Gemara, is it true that something which is not common is not mutter? If somebody has a barrel of tevel, which is muksa, because you're not allowed to separate, as we've discussed many times, trumas and maisers out of your tevel, because that's considered mesakim mana, and you have such a barrel full of tevel on your roof, and it got broken, maybe keli meniach tachtel, to save the contents. It's muksa. And for the Gemara, answers the Gemara, there it's talking about begulfi chedetai, new barrels, new earthenware barrels, the shchich de paki, that are common that they should break. And since that they're common that they should burst, that's considered something which is common. And like we just learned, Rav Chisda says that if it's common, it's mutter. Eisvei, noisen, kli tachas haner, l'kabel netzoitzes. We're allowed to put a vessel under a lamp to catch the sparks. Now, sparks are muksa. So how could I take the keli for that purpose? Answers the Gemara, the same teretz. Netzoitzes na mishkichi, the tzoitzes are common, and anything which is common, you're allowed to take a keli. But, explains Rashi, shemen dripping out of the menorah is not common. And therefore, if it's not common, therefore you can't take a keli for that purpose. Tosfos has a different approach. Tosfos says, of course, shemen dripping out of something of the menorah on Shabbos is common. But since there's something that you have a simple eitzah to do, like we said in the Mishnah, bring a keli from before Shabbos. So even though it's common, but if I had something that I could have done to prevent it by putting the keli there before Shabbos, I cannot give you a heter to take the keli on Shabbos when you could have done it before Shabbos.